Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, good morning, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that we have to assemble and be with one another on the Lord's Day. We're always thankful and mindful of that blessing. We will have What Say Ye this evening, so please show up for that. We'll have Carl and Dane have some lessons for us, and we are definitely looking forward to that. If you turn it over to Philippians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be spending most of our time. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, I want to read once again just to kind of dive into the text there. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. You know, I want to stop there for a second because I don't think it's an accident that we have joy and anxiety just a few verses away from one another, because I think they're linked to some degree. Well, how are they linked? Because I think many times anxiety can steal our joy. And actually, if you look at these verses in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Certainly, that's a challenge if you think about it. Always is something that we will always struggle with, you know. Anytime you see always, it's one of those things that you scratch your head for a second and it's like, really? Can I do that? And we understand as humans that we fall short and we make mistakes, but God is encouraging us towards the joy side of the spectrum. Well, what's the other side of the spectrum? I think it's anxiety many times. Well, what is anxiety? Well, it's nervous, being worried, being concerned, being uneasy for really long periods of time. And then if you think of periods in your life where you are anxious, are you really ever joyous in those situations? When you're really nervous, do you really have joy? When you're really concerned about things going on, do you really have joy? Or when you're worried and uneasy about things going on around you, do you really have joy? See, I think it's not an accident that these are connected. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then it continues on. And it says, be anxious for nothing. It's almost like saying, hey, get the anxiety out of your life. And on the other hand, you need to have joy. Certainly, this is a big challenge. You know, when you think of anxiety, certainly we've all experienced that at some point in our lives, in some degree or another. We've all been nervous at some point. We've all been concerned at some point. We've all been uneasy at some point. In many ways, I think anxiety is just a low-grade fear, isn't it? I mean, we certainly experience fear. We're afraid of many things that happen, but anxiety is like the build-up to fear. It's like, oh, I'm nervous about the things that could happen. I heard fear defined one time as false expectations appearing real. I know that's not always the case, but I do think that's the case when it comes to anxiety many times, is that we get worried and anxious about things that many times never happen. False expectations appearing real. I think that this is going to happen, so I'm going to get all worked up about it, and then it never happens. You know, anxiety is certainly a dangerous thing, and you can certainly get lost in anxiety very easily. It's like a storm of what if. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And you get so consumed in the storm of what if that you miss out on the joy of the Christian life. You know, anxiety is more like the storm is coming. It's not actually going through the storm. It's like the anticipation of the storm. The storm is coming. The storm is coming. Well, when it's coming, I don't know, but it's going to be coming soon. And you get lost in that nervousness. You get lost in that uneasiness. You know, you look at the news, and certainly I think that the news doesn't help us in any respect. We turn on the news, and what do we see? Everything in the world to be anxious about. Everything that the world is telling us that we should be anxious about. The end of the world, when is it going to be? It's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be whenever North Korea launches a missile. You know, I mean, anxious, anxiety, nerves about all kinds of things in all kinds of places. You know, it's just a matter of time before the next disease, the next death, the next disaster that faces us. You know, certainly the Christian life is a balance, but when you look in Philippians, I think God's trying to send us a message. Joy, anxiety, He's trying to move you closer to joy and farther away from anxiety. Well, how could He possibly do that? When there's so many things changing in the world, when there's so much going on, so much to be nervous about, so much to be worried about, how is God going to move me from anxiety to peace? How is He going to move me on that spectrum closer to having a life of peace, a life of joy? You know, we know anxiety is dangerous. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, verse 8, it says, "Do not fret, it only causes harm." Certainly anxiety many times causes more harm than it ever does good. Anxiety steals so many things from you, doesn't it? Being anxious about so many things in your life, doesn't anxiety steal your sleep? Doesn't anxiety many times zap your energy? Doesn't many times anxiety steal your peace and steal your joy? And you know what God is saying here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. The Christian life should be full of joy. But yet somehow, the turmoil of this life, we get lost in the anxiety and the worries of this life. You know, the things that the Philippians were facing can't be that much different than what we face today. They were facing disaster. They were facing disease. They were facing death. Many of the similar things that we face. And you say, well, they were facing physical persecution. I agree that we probably at some point in our lives will experience some type of persecution. Maybe not physical to the degree, but we face similar problems that these individuals had. And I think Paul is trying to lead them, that God is trying to lead them from anxiety to a more peaceful life. You know, the Christian life is full of growing and learning. And if you think in respect to a life of sin, what does God try to do? Is that we start out and we know that we have sinned, we fall short of the glory of God. What does He try to do? He tries to teach us and have us grow so that there's less sin in our life and we become more righteous. I think God really is trying to get you to go through a transition throughout your Christian life. But what's the transition He wants you to go through? From anxiety to peace. Is it going to happen in one day? Is it going to happen in one night, one evening? No, it's a lifelong process of God trying to say, you are not supposed to be anxious all the time. You can not get lost in the prison of being nervous all the time, being worried all the time, being concerned all the time, being uneasy all the time. Don't get lost in that prison. God wants you to go through this process of going from a life of anxiety to a life of peace. In fact, when you look at that Greek word, anxiety, that's being used there, it's being used in the active tense. What does that mean? When He says anxiety, be anxious for nothing, He's almost saying, don't be anxious continually. Don't be constantly nervous. Don't be constantly worried. Don't be constantly concerned about so many things that the world wants you to be nervous about. I think there's a trap here that they're being warned of in Philippians chapter 4. And the trap is if you get trapped in the prison of anxiety for long periods of time, what happens is the joy of the Christian life slowly but surely gets taken away. So what's the solution? How can we move from being less of an anxious person to more of a person that has more peace and joy? How can we go through that? Well, as we continue through Philippians chapter 4, I think it will help us. Number one is, as we look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," it says, "let your requests be known to God." When I read that, the first thing I think of is this is an individual that's asking for help. You know, one of the things you should do when you're anxious, nervous, concerned about something, is you should ask for help. That's what it's saying here in Philippians, is that when anxiousness comes, and certainly it will, why don't you ask for help? You have to take action steps in the Christian life. It's not a magical process where God does all of it and you don't have any responsibility at all. just like your sinful life. You started out and you were committing all these sins, but slowly but surely, as you learn and grow and learn what God teaches, you try to correct those things in your life. You try to be better each and every day. I think the same thing happens a lot of times. We have to go through the process of actively trying to remove anxiety out of our life. And one of the first ways to do that is to ask for help. But how many people ask for help when they're anxious, when they're nervous, when they're concerned, when they're worried? For many people, that would be viewed as perhaps a sign of weakness. If I ask for help, that's a sign of weakness. If I ask for help in a time of need, when I'm nervous, when I'm concerned, that's weakness. Well, God right here is giving you the solution many times to anxiety, to your nervousness, to your concern. If He's saying, ask for help. He's giving you the method, right? He says the method is prayer. Prayer is the method. And you see that word supplication? I think it would be good for us to understand what that word is. Supplication is the action of asking or begging for help. You know, that's a humbling experience, isn't it? But you know what? That's one of the first steps to move from anxiety to a more peaceful life. Is that when you meet struggles, and you will, when you have anxieties, and you will you not ask for help? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. What's your point? Is there are actions to the Christian life. A lot of people want help, but they'll never ask for help. Not from me, not from God. Not from their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not in the workplace. And sometimes people get so lost that they think they can go through this life all alone. I don't need God. I don't need you. I don't need you, brother and sister in Christ. I don't need you. But one of the solutions in relation to anxiety, to nervousness, to concern, is to ask for help. Will you ask for help? Sometimes people have a lot of anxieties in their lives. Sometimes they have a lot of stresses in their life. Sometimes they have a lot of problems in their life, physically, spiritually. But one thing they miss out on is they don't ask for help. And sometimes I inquire really gently when I'm talking with individuals and they say, you know, I'm really struggling with this in a physical way. Well, did you ask for help? Many times people go throughout their lives and they will not learn this step. They will not ask for help. They go at it all alone. I can take care of it. I don't need help. I don't need assistance. And they never go to God or their brothers and sisters in Christ to ask for help. You know, I think of people's prayer life. You know, we can thank God for so many blessings. Certainly we can. But how many times do we go to God in prayer and truly ask for His assistance and help with those things that we're nervous about? Those things that we're concerned about? Those things that we're struggling with? You have to ask for help. And I think in our society, it's not the most popular thing. You know, we're the land of freedom. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And I'm not saying there's not an element there that you want to do the best you can individually. But there's a point where, you know, help is very beneficial into getting you through some of the things that you struggle with. You turn to God and ask for help. You know, when it comes to anxiety, a lot of times people are more apt to turn to the world than they are to God. They're more apt to turn to the world than their brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think we have to be very careful about that. Because the world doesn't always lead to a good place. I know the Bible always leads us to a good place. Where do you turn to help? Do you turn to the world first or do you turn to God? See, God is ready to assist you with your problem. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. You're not alone in your struggle. You're not alone in your trouble. You're not alone in your trials. You're not alone in your tribulations. You're not alone in your hardships. But what I can tell you is many people make themselves alone because they don't ask for help. It's not that the help isn't there. Right, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's not that our brother would not help us. It's not that our sister would not help us. It's not that God would not help us. But the problem is us. Because we won't ask for that help. You're not alone in your trials and tribulations and hardships. Many times people make themselves alone because they never ask for help. You know, it's interesting when you read through Philippians 4, verse 6 there, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer, by prayer and supplication. It says, by prayer and asking God, begging God, in everything. You know, that gives you some confidence and some encouragement that God is on your side. I mean, we can talk about our brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes we slip up and we're not always there. We don't always, we definitely fall short in many respects, but God is always there. That's to give us confidence and encouragement that God is always there to help and assist. In Psalm 121 and verse 2, it says, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now you think about that, the one that's on my side, the one that's going to listen to my struggles and my troubles and my tribulations and my hardships, the one that is on my side is the one that created heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Creator. A Creator that gave us the avenue of prayer, a Creator that gave us a book that is living and active based off of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, a book that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He's given us a lot of outlines on how to help our life. And I think the Bible is trying to teach us, He wants us to transition from a life of anxiety to a life of peace. Now don't miss it. The Bible is not promising that your life is going to be without problems. In fact, I think the Bible many times tells you the opposite. Because you live the Christian life, you're going to have some perhaps additional trials. But in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. It says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, the Bible does not ignore the fact that you're going to go through tribulation. The Bible does not ignore the fact that you'll go through trials. The Bible does not ignore the fact that you're going to be nervous at times, that you're going to be concerned at times, that you're going to be anxious at times. But what the Bible says is with God on your side, you can help overcome some of those things. You know, we as Christians and non-Christians face a lot of the same things, don't we? Both Christians and non-Christians face death. Both Christians and non-Christians face disease. Both Christians and non-Christians face disaster. But what's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? A Christian can turn to God for security, consistency, and assistance. And certainly those outside of Christ can turn to God for assistance. They just need to make sure that they're doing those things according to His will. God has a message to His followers. And the message of God to His followers is, I am there to help and assist. You know, you think of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. It says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. God is telling you that He is going to be with you, that He's going to assist you. We go over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, as we look in that passage, it tells us that if we seek God first, He's going to take care of us. We'll take care of what? A lot of those basic necessities of life. You know, a lot of people worry about those things. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? And in Matthew chapter 6, when you read that, what's the core message? God is there for you. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He's going to give you these things. You're not going to have to worry about those things. You're not going to have to stress about those things. God is going to be there. You know, so many problems in the Christian life don't go away easily. When you become a Christian, is sin just magically solved? No, it's not magically solved. It's a process. You start reading the Bible, studying it, and slowly but surely you try to improve yourself. The same thing with anxiety. As soon as you become a Christian, is all your anxiety going to go away? Is all your nervousness, is all your concern about the world, is it all going to go away? No, it's a process. But God is with you through that process. That you can ask Him for help, that He and His teachings will change your mind, renew your mind in ways that you're not concerned about things that the world many times is concerned about. Problems don't always go away easy. It's a process. It's clear that I don't think God wants us to live in the prison of anxiety. And one way He does that is He offers His help. But the question is, will you ask for His help? Will you acknowledge that you need help? Which kind of leads us to our second point, is that when we go to God and ask for help, another aspect that is going to help you immensely with many of those anxieties that you have is if you leave them with God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, as we continue here, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What is it saying? Ask God. It says, with thanksgiving, that your request may be known to God. Think about that for a second when you think about a request. Many times when you make a request, you put it somewhere, or you call, and you make a request, and you have to leave it there, and you have to wait for a response. Many times when it comes to our worries, our stresses, and relations in this life, we just have to leave them with God. And I think we have an echoing of that idea in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You cast your cares upon God. It's one thing to ask for help, but it's another thing to say, you know what, God? I realize that some things are out of my control. I realize that this is a far bigger problem than me, and I'm going to leave it with you. You know, when you do that, that's really a humbling experience because you have to admit that you can't control all things. You don't have it all together. There are issues in your life that you know you cannot solve alone. And it's humbling to say, I need some help. And I need some help with those things that I know I don't have 100% control over. You know, there's something about that, the ability to give your request to the Creator. To leave your cares and concerns with the Creator. That is something that I really think can truly help us with many of our worries and stresses about this life. But do we utilize it? You know, there's been many times where I've laid in my bed and I could not sleep. Well, why couldn't you sleep? I was anxious. I was nervous about something, worried about something. Many times it was something that I shouldn't have been worried about. Right? Many times we worry about things that we shouldn't be worried about. Many times we're nervous about things that we shouldn't be nervous about. And I'm sitting in bed and I can't sleep. And I go to God in prayer. Say, God, this problem is not going to be solved by me. I could work on it 100 years and I'm not going to be able to solve it. I'm going to have to leave this one with you. And I said, when I'm going to leave this problem with you, I'm going to try to leave it out of my mind. Because as I focus on that anxiety, as I focus on that nervousness, as I focus on whatever issue or trial that is in my life, you know what it's doing? It's stealing my joy. It's stealing the joy of the Christian life. But when you can leave those things with God, you say, these are my biggest problems, these are my biggest struggles, and you go to God in prayer and you say, I'm going to leave this with you. What you have done is you've taken that anxiety, that nervousness, and you say, God, you take care of that, and I will focus on those things which I can control. And I will face those as best I can. You know, anxiety can certainly steal your sleep. God wants you to get some sleep. And he gives you some avenues where you can utilize him in that way. Certainly it's a humbling experience when you admit you're not in control of all things. But really, God wants to put you in that situation from time to time. Because you know what? Arrogance and pride leads away from God. When you look at James chapter 4 and verse 6, I think that's what it says. It says, God resists the proud. James chapter 4 and verse 6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is looking for a humble people. He's looking for not an arrogant people. He's looking for people that say, I don't have it all together, and I need your help. And that's not easy for people to do. Can you leave the unsolvable to God? Can you stop worrying about it, stressing about it, and being nervous about those things out of your control? And can you leave those things with God? You know, and really, when you think about it, it's for your well-being. When you drop those anxieties, when you drop those stresses, when you drop those nervousness, it really helps you as an individual. But let me tell you something else. It doesn't only help you as an individual. It helps those people that are around you. We probably all had time with that person that is so overly anxious that their anxiousness wears off on everyone. And I'm not saying that there aren't things that we have to worry about as Christians, but what I'm saying is God is trying to help you with many of those worries and concerns that you're worrying about and stressing about. God is saying, give those to me. You don't need to worry about that as a Christian. You know, you think about death in particular. You know, Christianity is supposed to change your perspective about death as an individual. We shouldn't be worried about death. As a Christian, we shouldn't be worried or stressed about death. God has forgiven us of our sins. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he's continually cleansing us of our sins and our shortcomings so that we can have peace. So that we can have peace. We have so many great blessings that God gives us in relation to our perspective and in relation to Christianity. You know, we're blessed even in the darkest times of life. We're blessed when we die. We're blessed many times when a lot of things are happening around us that the world would say, oh, that's horrible, I can't believe that's happening, and yet we can still look at the Christian life and say we are still richly and bountifully blessed. And one of those things is we know the ending. We know how it's all going to work out. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. When you think about anxiety, God is trying to move you from anxiety to peace. One of the first things that you need to do is ask for help. One of the second things you need to do is when you ask for help, you need to leave some of those things with God. Those are not things that you should be stressed about. Those are not things you should be worried about, because many times they're not important in respect to our soul. Are these things easy to do? No, they're not easy to do. It's not easy for people to ask for help. All you have to do is turn to probably anyone in your family that's older and aging, and many times, what do they struggle with most? Asking for help. They're not going to ask for help. And we all know someone like that, don't we? It's hard many times for us to ask for help. And I'm one of those people. And I'm still young, so I don't know how I'm going to deal with it when I get old. Many times I don't want to ask for help. Spiritually, we must ask for help. Not only must we ask for help, but we have to understand that there's many things that we must leave with God. And those are not hard things. Those are many times hard for us to do. The third thing I think in Philippians chapter 4 that we see is God is really after your mindset. In Philippians chapter 4, as you read through, we get to verse 8 and verse 9 in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll just pick up in verse 8. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requesting known to God, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, you're going to see a mindset shift. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, what is the Bible talking about? The Bible wants you to think positive. You know, some people are their own worst enemy, because you know where their mind goes? It goes to some of the most negative things it could go to. Some people have very negative self-talk. They're very hard on themselves. And I know there's individuals in this congregation that have very hard self-talk. And you know what? When you have very hard self-talk, there's advantages to some of it, because some of it drives you to be better. But there's a point where it drives you to anxiety. Anxiety where you are nervous all the time that you're not going to live up to your own expectations, that you're so worried about how you're going to perform in every situation, so on and so forth. And the Bible is trying to change your mind and say, focus on those things that are good, those things that are noble, those things that are just. Don't focus so much on the negative. And I think the Bible really tries to focus on our mindset many times. In Romans chapter 12, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do you think about most? Because what you think about most is many times going to be a big part of yourself. I think we see that in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. You can turn over there to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, because I think what it's really talking about there is what we constantly think about, we become. What do you think about most? Do you think about good things, or do you think about bad things? And what God is trying to do is He's saying anxiety is a lot of times when you're thinking about all the bad of the world, all the trouble of the world, all the strife of the world, all the worrying things of the world. And I want you to slowly but surely stop thinking about all those things of the world and slowly but surely start thinking more about those things that are good, those things that are true. And when you think about those things, you think more positively, and what happens is anxiety starts to creep slowly but surely out of your life. Is it ever going to be totally eliminated? I don't think so. But certainly God is trying to lead you to the life more of peace. Do you learn to concentrate on those things that are positive? In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Well, what is it in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24? It says positive thoughts. We have to avoid thinking about all those bad things many times and many of those things of the world. The Christian life is a blessed life because so many of the things that the world worries about, the Christian life, we don't have to worry about those things so many times. We think about death. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For a Christian to die is actually gain. For the person in the world, they view death as the ultimate ender, the worst thing that could ever happen to you is you die. for a Christian, it's actually perhaps, well, really, you should think of it, it's one of the best things that can happen to you. Because you go from this worldly state to your eternal spiritual state, and that is much better than this place on earth. You know, we certainly have a hope as a Christian. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." The Christian life has hope. And because the Christian life has hope, it has joy associated with it. But so many people get lost in the trap of anxiety. They get lost in their nervousness, their concern, not for a short period of time, but sometimes it's days. Sometimes it's weeks. Sometimes it's months. And the Bible's trying to tell you, ask for help. Not only ask for help, but leave some of those things with God. Not only leave some of those things with God, but try to think more positive. Is that going to happen overnight? No, it's going to be a process through your Christian life. That I'm going to try to think more positive. I'm going to try to think about those things that are true, those things that are lovely, those things that are just. And when I do those things, it leads me away from anxiety to peace. You know how hard it is to be joyous when you're anxious? When you're anxious and you're worried about things all the time, where's your joy? It's not there. And that's what the Bible's trying to tell you, is that anxiety, your nervousness, your worry that goes on for long periods of time, what it does is it steals your joy. It steals your sleep. It steals your energy. It steals your peace. And the Bible's trying to lead you one step away, one step at a time, away from anxiety, closer to peace. Can you ask God Almighty for help? Can you leave some of your cares and concerns with Him? Can you think positive? You know, when it comes to anxiety, it's going to come back into your life, no doubt. It's not like it's going to be gone and you're never going to have to face it again. You're going to face anxiety in your life. You're going to face trials in your life. You're going to face tribulations in your life. And the Bible is trying to give you a pattern to deal with it. When that next anxiety comes, you know what you should do? Ask God for help. Not only should you ask God for help, but you need to cast some of those cares upon Him. Not only cast those cares upon Him, but try to think on those things that are positive. Think on those things that are good, those things that are the truth, those things that are lovely, those things that are listed in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And slowly but surely, some of those anxieties can drift away. You know, it's interesting. I tried to look up some worldly cures for anxiety. And I think that, interestingly enough, when you look at these things, many times what the world will kind of try to tell you. You know what you need to do if you're anxious? You need to ask for help. You know what you need to do is you need to stop worrying about those things that don't matter, those things that you can't control. Well, that's leaving it with God, you know. And many times they say, well, you need to shift your mindset. You need to stop thinking so negatively. Think positive. The Bible is giving you a remedy. You know, go to the great physician many times before you go to the world. I'm not saying I'm a medical doctor or anything, but I think all of us can see the wisdom in these things. Will you ask God for help? Will you leave those things with God that you can't control? Will you try to think more positive? You know, these steps are not easy. But it's not easy to go from a life of sin to a life of righteousness. It's a transition as we grow and learn. Same thing with anxiety to peace. It's a transition. Now, turning our attention to some individuals that are non-Christians. I remember before I became a Christian, I was extremely anxious. Perhaps the 2 weeks before I became a Christian, I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't. 2 weeks before I became a Christian, I wasn't sleeping. I don't know if you can relate to that or not. I couldn't sleep. I had studied the Bible, and you know when I studied the Bible, you know what I had to do? I had to ask God for help, because I realized I was a sinner, and there was nothing that I could do but ask God for help. I asked God for help. Hey, that's one of the steps that we talked about today. Not only did I ask God for help, but then I looked at what God said I needed to do to be saved, the steps that I needed to do, and you know what? To be honest with you, I don't understand all of them. I don't understand by being buried in a watery grave has anything to do with my sins being washed. So I had to leave that with God, didn't I? I had to say, God, I don't understand everything about this, but I'm going to trust You. I'm going to do what You say. I asked You for help. You told me what I need to do, and I don't understand everything about it, but I'm going to trust You. I'm going to do it anyway. And you know when I came out of a watery grave baptism, did I have anxiety in that moment? I want you to think back to your moment. Did you have anxiety? What I think is when you come out of that watery grave of baptism, you are thinking about those positive things that we find in Philippians chapter 4. When you come out of that watery grave, for a moment in your life, it's almost like so many of your anxieties, so many of those things that we worry about and stress about in our lives, they don't matter. You come out of that watery grave and you're thinking about those things that are positive, those things that are pure, those things that are noble. You're thinking about those things. And you know what the challenge of the Christian life is? is to try to stay in that state our whole Christian life. Because you know what the world tries to do? As soon as you come out of the water, you grave your baptism, it tries to suck you back in with the anxieties, the worries, and the tribulations and the struggles of life. That's what it tries to do. Well, how do I get back to that state? Ask God for help. Leave those things with Him and try to think about those things that are positive. Perhaps you're a non-Christian here this morning and you have some of those anxieties that we're describing. We're not saying that they're going to be eliminated forever, but certainly God can help you with those, and He can transition you from a life full of anxiety, 100% anxiety, to hopefully 100% peace. It doesn't mean that you're going to slide back from time to time, but when you slide back, God gives you the help that you need. If you need to become a New Testament Christian or you need the prayers of the church, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.